The Mesa Chamber of Commerce Inside Business Podcast brings you a unique view of Mesa through its vibrant business community and the subjects that are important. The podcast is produced in the Mesa Chamber of Commerce Media Studio, sponsored by the University of Phoenix. Our podcast is hosted by Mesa Chamber of Commerce CEO Sally Harrison. Please enjoy this episode of the Mesa Chamber Inside Business Podcast.
Hi, I'm Sally Harrison, President and CEO of the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and today we're in the podcast studio with some friends from Cade Keller Foundation. Thank you for being here. I have so many people in the room. I just want you to kind of go around and introduce yourselves, because we've got Cade Keller Foundation and our friends from Mesa Community College. So we'll start with you, Megan.
Thanks, Sally. I'm Megan Keller and Cade Keller's mother.
And I'm Brian Cooper, Cade's stepdad.
And I'm Michael Boss, Dean of Instruction at MCC.
And I'm Curtis Casey, Welding Department Director and Cade's former teacher.
Awesome. Thank you guys for being here. So maybe Megan, maybe you can start. Share a little bit about the mission and goals of the Cade Keller Foundation, particularly regarding suicide awareness and the See Something, Say Something, I guess.
Yes, thank you. Sadly, the Cade Keller Scholarship Foundation was born out of the suicide of my beloved son, Cade, at the young age of 16 years old. Cade crossed over March 12th, 2022, and the See Something, Say Something ethos was developed because Cade made three Instagram videos very clearly saying what he was going to attempt to do. And sadly, not one peer responded. Four of them recorded it. And even worse than that, the next day, several of the peers called asking to have some of Cade's treasured belongings. So with that, the See Something, Say Something ethos was developed, that if you see something, say something. You can tell a peer, you could tell a parent, you could call the police, 988, a friend, but if you do see something, please do say something and give the chance to somebody that we were never given for Cade.
Yeah, that's tough. Thank you for sharing that. So I know that a lot of this, and the reason that we have MCC is here, because he was a student at MCC in the welding program. So let's talk about how the proposed expansion of the welding training facility align with the objectives of the Cade Keller Foundation and its efforts to promote mental health awareness.
Well, I'll start with the day that first day of class, Megan goes in and we give everybody a Cade glove. And then Megan tells the story of how Cade actually met Curtis and started welding. And suicide is a tough topic. And at Mesa College, it's day one. Mm-hmm. So we get the conversation started about suicide and we continue that on.
And something else that I've noticed too is that with every time that they've come to our facility to make their presentation, someone has been affected. I mean, it's very evident that, like we talked about earlier, they'll break eye contact and maybe they tear up, because this is something that affects all of us. As a matter of fact, I've had in the past 2 weeks a couple of students, both male and female, coming to my office just sharing some personal, I wouldn't say tragedies, but personal stresses that they had considered themselves, that they were needed some help, needed some resources. And so fortunately we have some good resources on campus that I can refer them to, but just to the fact that they came to me tells me that this is very much in need.
Yeah, it is. So maybe we can back up a little bit, because Cade was a student there, right? So maybe give just a little insight to that program and how Cade was affected by that.
Sure. Cade was a student of Curtis's in the spring of 2022. And it's so difficult. Just after he completed his first course with Curtis, as I had mentioned earlier, Cade completed suicide. But what made Cade a unique student is that he was only 16 years old.
Right.
And as many of us know in the community, especially as parents, with an untraditional learner, being able to pursue their passion might have a lot of barriers. For Kate, it did. He was just 16. He didn't have a GED. He was a minor, and he's doing an extremely dangerous skill and trade that he'd been passionate about truly since he was a really young boy. So finding an outlet for a young learner, or mm-hmm. a minor at that matter, and being accepted into a program like the Mesa Community College Welding Program was truly a privilege for us.
Okay, so that explains the connection. Thank you. So what specific impact do you anticipate the expanded facility will have on addressing the shortage of skilled welders specifically, both locally and nationally?
Well, let me just talk a little bit. You know, this is, you know, Curtis's expertise, but you know, if you don't know it, Mesa Community College is a very large college. It's one of the largest in the country, and we're in the biggest community college district in the country. And this is a program with a lot of legacy. You know, in fact, about 40 years worth of legacy. And you know, what Curtis was doing that day that he first met Cade is what he does every single day, and what all the teachers do every single day in that program. And they do a lot with a little, right? It's about 11,000 square feet of facility that is used maximally every day of the week. They teach sun up to well past sundown every day of the week, including Sundays. They, you know, while many people are in church, the Church of Welding is going on.
That's our Sunday school.
Right? The Sunday school is still happening, really just to meet the workforce need, because mm-hmm. we are the only 4-credit training option in all of Maricopa County. And our capacity has not grown over 40 years, although the city and, you know, the county has. And, you know, this is, you know, a passion project for me, as well as for Megan and Brian and Curtis and everyone who knew Cade, you know, that we want to do something that honors a legacy of a young life, right? But we also want to do something that creates tremendous value for a skill that's not high profile, but it's way needed, right? Mm-hmm. If you've been to any of the big stadiums, any big building, you know, anything like that, welders are behind that, right? Yeah. You know, and the ability to have skilled people. The people in that profession are aging out, right? And it's very important that young people do get involved in this. So what we want to do with this facility is twofold. Obviously, we need to modernize and expand the facility. And we want to do that at in a way that's commensurate with the size and stature of Mesa Community College and the Maricopa Community College District. So we would like it to be a flagship facility if possible, mm-hmm. you know, so we can demonstrate what excellence looks like in that field. But we also want to integrate the social cause, right? We think that there's the ability to create awareness around suicide in a profession that always works behind a mask mm-hmm. and in a booth. And so the idea of see something, say something through this vehicle, through this profession, I think can be really impactful.
I love it. So how do you envision this project integrating the social responsibility to increase suicide awareness into the broader goals of workforce development and education?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I would mention here is a lot of people who are attracted to this profession might be former military, public safety type folks. Mm-hmm. Right, you know, and that population in and of itself has, you know, their own issues with PTSD.
Sure.
I'm a former military member, so is Curtis, right? And Ryan, that's your background too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Wow, thank you all for your service.
You know, this, the ability to take people in that field and give them, you know, stateside skills mm-hmm. is very, very important. So I just see, the connection is, you know, phenomenal. You know, like I said, just through the vehicle of being a welder, right, and looking out for your fellow welders.
And it's getting that story, that conversation started.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most difficult conversation I think anybody can have. And we got to get it started. It starts with day one at the welding, like I mentioned. But mm-hmm. if we can all talk to it, then they can take it home, and they're having their conversation with their peers, their siblings, you know, we're going to get that conversation. So we, you know, the see something, say something is actually starting to gain traction, and that's what we're looking for.
And what we can envision too is, as I was alluding to earlier, that these students that came to me with their concerns and stresses of life normally would have to go on campus, which is about 200 or 300 yards away from where our facilities are, so it's not easy for them to get to that. And by having something right in our building, this would be much easier access for the resources that are available to them, the timing involved when they need to talk, there's somebody there to talk. And so this is very important that we can integrate these in our training for welding as well.
Can you discuss some of the potential outcomes and returns on investment expected from this project, both in terms of the enrollment growth and community impact?
Yes, yes. Currently, because of the size that we are at, we're at 12,000 square feet, and we do the basic welding processes. When I say do, we teach the stick welding, MIG welding, TIG welding. If you don't know what those are just different ways to put metal together. That's all. And so these are real common in the industry. And because of the size, we're limited to being able to serve just up to 250 students. Mm-hmm. There's a shortfall projected by the United States Labor Bureau that they're expected to have a shortage of 400,000 welders this year in 2024.
Wow.
And so we can do our part simply by, if we were able to double our footprint, go up from 12,000 to 24,000, then we can project that we can maybe not quite double our seating capacity, but come close to it to serve at least 400 to maybe 450 people. Simply, like Mike says, we are the primary and the only public welding training facility in the greater Phoenix metro area.
Well, based on the growth that we've had just in Mesa and the East Valley, I can imagine we could put those people to work fairly quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. Matter of fact, a lot of times we can put them to work well before they're done with our school. I have a student, we were just talking about him. He's been with us for 4 months, which is basically one semester and half of this next semester here. He is in a class where he's being taught by a person in a welding fabrication shop. The teacher saw his skills, saw his drive, his ability, invited him to apply at their facility, and he was able to get the job. So he's not even done with school, but he's got a job welding.
That's wonderful. How do you envision the expanded welding program contributing to the economic vitality and development of the Maricopa County region?
Yeah, I just think it's essential. You know, I go and look and see what's happening, you know, down by the Mesa Gateway Airport,
mm-hmm.
and you know the speed of production. You know, and even with what's happening with the Intel plant and the TSMC plant, you know, a lot of the slowdown is workforce right now.
Sure.
Right, and so we just want to be able to meet that need, and you know, the Phoenix Metro is not going to slow down anytime soon, right? But it's not just about getting more workers; it's about getting more workers with advanced skills. Curtis, can you talk about, you know, about some of the capacities that we don't have that we hope to have in the new facility?
Well, like I said, our normal training curriculum is for the standard welding processes. But for them to go into the industry as something a little more than the regular entry-level welder, to have the advantage of some advanced training, such as advanced fabrication with a building such as a company such as, like, say, Chef Steel or Agate or Able. These are fabrication companies that utilize these services and like to have people that are a little bit more experienced than just know how to weld. They need to know how to put the two pieces of metal together properly before they weld them. That's called fabrication and fit up. Another thing is we can train and be very successful by teaching our students how to weld pipe, and not only weld pipe, but fit pipe. So between advanced fabrication and pipe fitting and pipe welding, these are skills that are going to give them a leg up on their fellow students from other places or competitors, they're going to jump really quickly from the entry-level pay to almost a journeyman-level pay, and just because they have these skills, and that's how the industry works now. If you have the skills, they're going to pay for those skills.
Mm-hmm. What role do you see partnerships with local businesses and industry leaders playing in the success of this initiative?
Well, we really need your help.
I think this is where all this subject comes together, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the Mesa Chamber, you know, the 1,000-plus members that are here, you know, trying to support local, right? Mm-hmm. You know, support local talent, you know, that can come into your companies, whether you're a small, medium, or large business. And, you know, if you have a need for welding and fabrication, you know, contact Mayor Curtis or, you know, the Mesa Chamber. Every little bit helps, you know. So we're trying to do something that's generationally transformational here, right? You know, 40 years ago, and a small investment was made, you know, to offer welding for the first time in the Maricopa system. And now it's time that we expand that, right, and meet the needs of today and tomorrow and the future. And so I know that there's a lot of businesses out there, you know, in the local chamber, you know, whether you're in an automotive shop or a fabrication shop, or, you know, do any work with metal whatsoever, you know, any way that you could help contribute, whether that's, you know, through supply, material, equipment, you know, once we build this facility, we'll need to outfit it, right? You know, so I think, you know, in ways big and small, we're very open to, you know, if this calls to you, we would welcome that. And then not just the manufacturing side of the house, you know, all those organizations that, you know, work with counseling and suicide awareness. And, you know, we want to, you know, have this be a home for that too. You know, so we really envision this not only being a state-of-the-art welding training facility, but also a place, a home, for shining the spotlight on suicide awareness. So I think it's sort of a two-factor ask,
mm-hmm.
you know, for two different types of companies out there to come together and maybe help help build a community program at a community college.
I love that.
I'd like to invite those who are listening and have an interest to join us on our advisory committee board. And so, because that's really what our purpose is to train our folks in a way that they can prepare them for the jobs that are out there. And so the employers out there can tell us best at what they want these students to be trained in. So a standard invitation for anybody to join us on our advisory committee.
Perfect. How will the project address the urgent need for skilled welders, especially considering the impending retirement wave in the industry that's coming up? I know that we need people, but we also are losing people at the same time.
Well, I think the average age of the welder out there is in the mid-50s, and so it's not but just a few short years until they're well into and past retirement age. With this expansion, like I said, we look to almost double what we can contribute to that population, and so, you know, that's what we can do is just build it a little bit bigger, offer the success or the help of training to half or twice as many people.
I want to share this. I want to share that, you know, first impressions really matter, particularly when parents have a lot of options for their kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the other thing that we really want to do here is we want to make this an attractive facility, a really viable training option for young people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now there is, you know, sometimes a stigma going into the skilled trades. And, you know, if you tried to walk into the welding lab today, of course, you know, you would be welcomed with open arms, you know, with our great faculty. But if they weren't there, you might look and say, I'm not sure if I want to do this, right? And so we really want to have something that does our community proud,
yeah.
Right? You know, and that appeals to young people to go into this field that looks a lot like what they're going to go into in these professional environments.
So you talked about young people as in students. Share the proposed expansion and how it will benefit not only those students, but other stakeholders such as veterans and high school welding programs. We'd love to see more vets get involved in this kind of work, right?
Yeah, and we do offer two times a year a Wounded Warriors workshop that we invite a couple dozen veterans to come in and do a blacksmithing course. But not only that, just anybody who is a veteran is going to have the ability to take our courses and prepare themselves for life outside of the military.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said, though, any type of advanced training that we can offer them, there's jobs out there ready to snatch them up.
Right. So what's the timeline for this look like?
Well, if you ask Megan and Brian, it would be we're doing it right
today.
Now. Today.
Yes, I understand that.
We really, with sufficient community support, I mean, we would love to break ground this year. I mean, we're serious about this project. We've already commissioned architects to do some conceptual drawings.
Mm-hmm.
We have a workforce funding application submitted that's trying to access some of the Prop 207 dollars.
Great.
And then we have some generous donor matches.
Nice.
So, I feel like we're halfway-ish there to, making this a reality,
mm-hmm.
And with some additional support from the community, I think we can get it all the way down.
That's awesome. So, Megan and Brian, I know you guys have some events planned. I know you have one in particular that sounds like a lot of fun for the community to get engaged with. Maybe talk about that and what the schedule is for that.
Sure, thank you. April 20th of this year, 2024, we will have what I say, unfortunately, the third annual Cade Keller Scholarship Fund Cornhole Tournament. This is a great opportunity and a really a place of healing, hope, and a sense of community around Cade's birthday, which falls on April 23rd. We do a cornhole tournament. It will be at OHSO, O-H-S-O, off of 49th Street and Indian School in Central Phoenix. It'll be from 1 to 5, and it's a cornhole tournament that allows everybody to come together. It's a blind draw. We have amazing raffle items, and most important to know is that 100% of the funds that we raise, we give directly to the Scholarship Foundation that provides scholarships to welding students at Mesa Community College. It's important to know that the scholarship does go only to the welding program, as that was what Cade's passion was in his endeavor. So we invite you to come out on April 20th to OHSO, 4900 East Indian School Road in Phoenix.
And we say that it is a blind draw, so you don't know who your partner is. You're just going to have a best friend for the day. and so you never know who your partner is, and you might win it all.
Very cool. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
We're just grateful for moving forward with the expansion, and also really at the heartbeat of the program is having the See Something, Say Something ethos and inviting these unique tradespeople from their start, truly on day one. They are hearing the message mm-hmm. of See Something, Say Something, and promoting the aspect of mental health that they can lift up their hood and check on one another. And that movement will move with them through their career.
That's wonderful. So if somebody wants to learn more about the foundation,
mm-hmm.
what's your website? How do they get in contact with you?
Sure, they could be in touch through cnsay.live, that's all spelled out, cnsay.live, and they can also get in touch through the Mesa Community College Scholarship Foundation part and find out more information about getting scholarships that way.
Super. And if somebody had interest in being on your advisory board, how would they get in touch with you?
They can email me at Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S dot Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, at mesacc.edu, or my phone number, work phone number is 480-461-7131.
Awesome. Anything else? Okay, because we can always come back and do this again when we have some updates. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a Mesa Chamber of Commerce Inside Business Podcast. You can find all podcast episodes at iTunes, Spotify, or your own favorite podcast website. You can also find them online at mesachamber.org. Content of this podcast is copyright the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, unless otherwise noted.